Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yes, thanks, Bob. All right, go ahead and pull out your bulletins. We have a lot going on this week. Our fall schedule starts back up. All the activities are starting back up. And so we'll just walk through some of those. So starting with this week, after the service, we have the church family dinner. So we'll take a few minutes, get set up, pray, and then we'll start eating together, fellowshipping together. Monday, September 9th, we have the Ladies Bible Church Bible study starting here at the church. And in a few minutes, I'll have Lisa come up and say a few things about that. Or actually, why don't you just come up now? Keep you on your toes. September 9th, ladies. Lisa's leading it. It'll be here at the church. And then Lisa will give a few more bits of information.
Yes. Hi. We are going to be starting a study in the book of John. So our text this year is the Bible instead of going through another book. We're going to dive in and really see what God has for us in the book of John. If you joined us, can you grab my Bible? If you joined us a couple years ago, you have maybe one of these binders somewhere floating around your house. Bring your binder with you because we're going to build our study as we go. I'll have handouts each week. So if you happen to have this binder still, bring it with you tomorrow night. If you don't have one, we'll have extras. We'll get you all set up so that you can join the study. Our goal this year is really, again, just looking at the Word of God, getting truths from the Word of God, and realizing that we as women have the ability and the responsibility to study the Word of God as well and can get in the Word and understand what God has for us. So I hope that you plan on joining us. We'd love to have you come out, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 7. If you have any questions, feel free to grab me as we're hanging out and fellowshipping. And just wanted to be clear that everybody's invited for dinner, so stay even if you didn't bring anything. There's always tons and tons of food, so we'd love to have you stay and get to know all of us.
Great. All right, thanks, Lisa. And then on Tuesday, September 10th, the men's study is starting back up. It is a study in the book of James. It's an inductive study, so it has not been easy, right? There's no spoon feeding of information. Brian's made a great point to ensure that we're reading the Word ourselves, asking questions of it, and then we come together and we talk about it. And Brian Ritchie, right back there, if you want to raise your hand, Brian. Again, Tuesday, September 10th. Oh, here at the church at 7, thanks. Here at the church at 7. Okay. And then Awana night, which is our Thursday for us. The theme, Frisbee. So, yeah, Frisbee night. And then Saturday, Ladies Coffee Connection at 10 a.m. And if you have any questions about that, you can contact Tammy. Tammy, if you want to raise your hand. And then, all right, moving on to September 15th, our Sunday school will begin. And I encourage everyone, if you have attended Sunday school, if you have not attended Sunday school, consider attending. We'll start at 11:15. We're going to be doing this year something that we've done a couple years ago. It's a good way to kind of go through and learn what the Bible is all about and understand some of the major major topics. And then September 18th, next week, Joy Lunch, so be looking forward to that. Pastor Sam and Becky, as you've noticed, they're out cruising the ocean right now. They aborted their ship yesterday, and then he said, "Hey, we're on the ship. We're not going to have cell signal. We'll talk to you later." So hopefully they're having a great time. Another announcement. I know it's kind of a long one today. Brian, why don't you mosey on up? Brian, and I quote, "I have some words I wanted to share." So yesterday, the men's group had their first cornhole tournament, and it was fun. It was fun. Unfortunately, Jared and I did not win. But
I just want to say that the deacons beat the elders.
Yeah. There you go. So Brian and William obviously won. We have this fun little trophy. And what would you like to say?
Thank you to all that helped us get here, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. And then last, the prayers. So on the back of the bulletin, you all know this, but we have a list of prayers. It doesn't take long looking through this to figure out, hey, most, if not all of those, are out of our control. So we need to be submitting ourselves and talking to our gracious God. So throughout the week, if it happens to come across your mind, pull out your bulletin, look through it, and let's do some praying together while we may not be together, but this week together. That's all I have, Jared.
Well, I guess it's time to get started then. Would you all stand with me? We're going to open with a word of prayer and sing some songs to God. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the grace that you've given to us. Lord, thank you so much for the plan and the hope that we have in Christ, for not just for our future, but for today to live in. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, we want to praise you today. We want to bless you. We want to tell you how much you mean to us. So, Lord, as we sing these songs from our heart to yours, Lord, would you be glorified today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Marvelous grace of our loving God, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount abhor, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace to the pardon and cleansed within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves roll, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? many blessings He would God have done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels pray attend. Help and comfort to the journey's end. Count your blessings,
a round of applause. Come on, he's worthy. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. It's fun to come to church, amen?
Amen.
Yes. Relax. Let's relax in the spirit for a minute. God, you're so good. You're so gracious, and you're so, so faithful. Lord, we thank you for that grace. We thank you for that faithfulness, and we place our hope in you and you alone.
I meet with you, and my soul screams out as your word pulls down far away. I sing to you, and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by trial or storm. Peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing. My hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here. My hope is in you, Lord. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. My
thankful this morning. It's good to be in your house. It's good to think about you.
You are good in all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. I've never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. I have seen your mercy, follow me all my days. Oh, it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You called me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You saved me from the brink of falling, mercy shutting doors before me. Now I see all the good you've done. When it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything. Good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good, and you can only be. Good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you.
Thank you, Lord, for being trustworthy and true. Thank you, Lord, for being the rock that we can take refuge in and never letting us down. We love you. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's presence. As we take this morning's offering, if you're visiting with us, don't feel obligated to give, but give because of a heart of worship. We give for you, Lord, today. We give to worship you with all aspects of our life, not just some.
Tried to clean it up nice, tried to hold it all together. I'm living rich in the world, but a spiritual beggar. And I've been waiting to give till I can give you something better. But you just wanted my heart. So here it is, all of it. Will you take it in this condition? Here I am, fully surrendered. Jesus, you. You love every broken piece of an honest heart. Turn the pennies in my hand to a heavenly treasure. Cause your kingdom rules by a different measure. So I'm pouring out until I'm an empty vessel. Lord, here's my heart. The joy and the sorrow, yesterday and tomorrow, I let go, fully surrender. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you offering, Jesus, you can have it all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. Whoa. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. You love every broken piece of an offering, Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. I surrender
This is normally the part where Pastor Sam would step up and would teach us from the Word of God, but today you get me instead. Well, oh boy, I hope I don't screw this up. All right, my name is Jared Schofield, and I am not the pastor here, if you're visiting today. I am an elder, one of three elders. Robert, who did our opening this morning, is the other elder, part of the leadership team. And I'm filling in for Sam over the next 3 weeks. So here's hoping that the congregation doesn't dwindle and he comes back to an empty church. No, so I'm filling in for Sam, but there's a reason that I'm standing here before you today. And it's not just that we needed a replacement. It's the reason is that I believe God has something to tell us today from his word. And I'm here as a servant to do his will. So, to that end, we're going to dig into the scriptures, and I believe we're going to hear from the Lord, not just today, but over the next 3 weeks. If you're willing to go with me on this excavation of truth, say amen. All right. So, a little bit about me. I lead the Boise Area Timothy Discipleship Group right here at our church, and that's for Shiloh Bible Camp, which you may have heard us talk about. I also lead Sunday school. So excited for that to be starting up. Yay. And as I was considering what am I going to teach these kids in this Timothy group, these kids that I'm discipling, that we're taking through the Word of God every fall. I was praying and asking the Lord to give me some enlightenment here, and we've gone through books like 1 John, Romans, and Galatians in previous years, and this year it was impressed upon me to take a look at Ephesians. So with that scripture fresh in my mind, I felt like it would be a good place to preach from for the next 3 weeks. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. Have you ever felt like you've been part of the church for a long time, but sometimes might seem like it's getting old, or maybe you feel stuck? Or how about this one? The Christians around me in the world don't seem like the Christians in the Bible. As I was reading through Ephesians one day from start to finish, I noticed something, and I had this question come in my mind. What I noticed was that the letter starts with a pretty big sweeping discussion on the idea of God predestining the church to come into existence, and that it would be made up of two types of people, Jews and Gentiles. But then the letter switches gears into an explanation of what the people in the church should look like. So my question was, why did Paul write this letter in the first place? What was his motivation to pen the letter to the Ephesians that ultimately has so much impact on you and me today? Usually, we consider that Paul wrote these letters in the New Testament in response to issues within the churches around the Mediterranean, but instead of getting into the answer to the questions now, we're going to spend time in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians for the next 3 weeks and try to understand what God has for us in there. And we might just find the answers and so much more. So, I mentioned reading the entire 6-chapter book of Ephesians straight through, and I want to stop for a minute and encourage you all, if you haven't, or don't generally read an entire book at a time, give it a try. Maybe you read a few verses, maybe a heading of a chapter, or even a whole chapter, but consider reading through an entire book in a sitting. Maybe not Psalms, but especially for the New Testament epistles, consider reading them straight through. The benefit of this is you get to see the whole picture, the whole context, rather than pulling out a small section of scripture out of context, which can lead to misunderstandings. So, last time I preached to you, we discussed my favorite band and my favorite song. It's called Radical. The main idea of that song is a declaration that I will not be ashamed of Jesus when others back away. I will stand. I will choose to be radical, someone who's different, but not just different for difference's sake, different with a purpose. And that purpose is given by Jesus. And I believe when we read through Ephesians and take Paul's teachings to heart, we will be applying the difference that Jesus purposes for us to be radically different. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to dig into the book of Ephesians, which is an often misunderstood and taken out of context book. We're going to break it down into sections and digest what message Paul was getting at when he wrote to the Ephesians, and try to understand the background of the people in Paul's audience. In other words, we're going to try to understand why he wrote, what he wrote in the way that he wrote it, and what it means to them, and by extension, to you and me today. So to get started, we're calling this message Philosophy 101, because in order to understand the first section of Ephesians, we need to actually go back and read some other scriptures to set the stage for what Paul writes in the first 2 chapters of Ephesians. So I want to take you on a quick journey to creation. Imagine with me, if you will, you're there with God on the first day. God turns to you and says, okay, get out your cell phone, start recording. So you pull out your cell phone and you hit record. What would you see as he declares, let there be light? As you keep recording, God speaks and creation comes into existence, one piece at a time. As I read this section of Genesis 1, we're going to simply read the spoken words quoted from God. And imagine hearing these words in God's presence with your cell phone camera capturing all this happening around you. Let's start in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was all over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And I was there with my cell phone recording what was happening. Let there be light. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. Can you imagine being present for this? Is this just a happy thought? Or reality? If we were present at creation, is this how everything came to be? Yes or no? Did it really happen this way or didn't it? And the real question is God lying or is God telling us the truth? There's an important understanding in this first thought experiment, and it's the idea that Genesis is telling us the truth. This is God's own words. It is his testimony. The first point I need us all to understand today is that God's word, written, spoken, and seen with our two eyes, we have to be able to receive that information that God is sending and the Creator, our Creator, has told us that this is the information found right here in the Bible. And if you can't take it at face value, the fact that God created in the very beginning of the book, if we can't take that first account of God's testimony about what happened as fact, then how in the world are we supposed to understand what else is in here and what's trustworthy and what's not? Furthermore, as we trickle down through scriptures through the Old and the New Testaments, like Ephesians, how are we supposed to know what is meaningful and what is not? What part of Ephesians is literally applicable to my life as a person who lives in the world today? So therefore, we at Lake Hazel Bible Church believe that God's word is true. I'm here today to tell you that I believe that God's word is true, and it absolutely is presented in such a way that everyone can understand and believe, whether it be through reading God's word, hearing the word of God spoken, or seeing the word of God in experience. I believe that if we were able to stand there with God on day one with our video recorder running, we would see creation coming into existence just like God and his word says. But what about a worldwide flood? Do you think we would see that? Yes, I do. I believe you would see a worldwide flood that wiped out all but 8 people on this planet. I believe we would also find a man, Abraham, hear words spoken to him in prophecy declaring that he would father a son in his old age, and we would see the fulfillment of that prophecy a year later. Furthermore, I believe we would see the nation of Israel marching out of Egypt into the wilderness, being guided by pillars of fire by night and cloud by day. I believe it really happened just like God's word says. They were led to the foot of Mount Sinai, where they would be established by God as his chosen people, set apart from the world for a purpose according to a plan. So either the stories of the Old Testament are true for they are fictitious and merely for our benefit as anecdotes of good morality and good behavior. Folks, if we can't simply read God's word and accept it as truth, then it's time to throw it out and get a new hobby besides hanging out at LHBC every Sunday morning. Because if we can't take the Bible for truth, then we're all just part of a club that gets together every week. Remember when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus himself proved his resurrection by showing himself to people? Then there were deniers in the resurrection, and that the gospel was only meaningful for life and living like good morals. Here's Paul's response to that notion. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 18. It says, "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching, it's in vain. Your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Folks, the Bible is not just a book of good stories. It is the written word of God that was originated from the spoken word of God, as well as the visibly seen word of God, Jesus, in the flesh. The word of God is his testimony handed down to us in a way that we can absolutely understand. Lisa, I'm so glad you said today that the women's study is to empower women to understand that you can read the word of God and you can understand it. God has information that you need to know no matter who you are, and it's accessible. So know what you're thinking right now. What in the world does this have to do with Ephesians? Well, I'll tell you. Paul writes about a very misunderstood topic in the first chapter of Ephesians, the topic of predestination and election. This topic has been debated over centuries and is highly misunderstood in my estimation. When we read the Bible as a whole, we see God's story unfold from the beginning to the end. God the Creator, the one who we were made by, the one who creates by simply speaking the words, is the same God who has all the rights and the authority to tell us who we are and what we're here for and where we're going. He has the right to give us purpose, for he created us, not the other way around. This is the idea of God's infallibility and sovereignty. He speaks the truth and never lies, and he has the right to call the shots and will not be thwarted in his decisions. So to understand the thrust of Ephesians, we have to first submit ourselves to God's design. We have to submit ourselves to the understanding that God's word is true, that he is the one dispensing truthful information in a way that we can understand, and he gets to be the definer of the information and what it means. For he is indeed the creator. Oftentimes we complicate things by bringing in our own ideas and our worldviews, and we mix them up with the scriptures to make an interpretation that fits our agenda, rather than simply reading God's word first, straight through, with a prayerfully open heart and mind to what is God actually saying here, not just what do I want it to say. So the second point today is to understand that God has a plan. Recently, Sam preached on these same points, actually, and I literally had this sermon all planned out, and I thought, I could just change it all, but why bother? God knew what we all needed to hear, so here we are. When we read through the Bible, we are not reading a collection of fun and exciting stories that are solely for the purpose of teaching good moral behavior. The Bible is not just a novel, a fable of good versus evil with its plot twists and turns, culminating in a happy ending. Now, that may be how the Bible actually ends, but that's not all there is to it. God's plan is described and illuminated for us across the centuries by the Holy Spirit, guiding the writings of the Word of God, and now you and I have the distinct privilege of holding the completed Word of God. It is God's testimony about what he's doing through history, leading to faith in Jesus as Savior, giving purpose in life and living and hope for the future. God's plan is accessible to you and to me and anyone in this world who's willing to take the time to access it. Now, someone might say, but think of the languages that don't have a complete translation of the Bible yet. You're right. Not everyone has a copy. But remember Romans 1, 18 through 20 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." There's that creation thing again. There's no denying it. Has God not shown himself to us, the people of the world? He has. This is the idea of dispensation, that God is the dispenser of knowledge and truth, like we've been talking about, and that he, the creator, gives us truthful information that we can rely upon. He doesn't lie, and he is trustworthy. So it's by these principles, one, that God's word is true, two, God has a plan, which he has made known to us, and that we're now given a choice of what to do with this information. I, for one, am choosing to submit to God and say that I will hear him out and take heed of what he says. And I believe you all would say the same thing. So it's with that understanding that we're ready to finally get into Ephesians. Why all the preparation and laying groundwork, Jared? Someone might ask. Why not just start reading Ephesians from scratch, one verse at a time, and just figure it out on our own? Because that's how misunderstandings happen. We're always harping on around here that you have to read the Bible in context. You have to understand the background, the audience, the message, as it's intended for that audience, before you can somehow take the message out and try to apply it to yourself today in America. So let me set the stage of Ephesians for you. We've become very familiar with Paul, the author. As we've read through the book of Acts over the last few months, Sam has been helping to prepare us with Paul's background story. But in case you need a refresher, Paul grew up as a Jew, trained as a Pharisee, became a persecutor of Jesus and those following Jesus in the first Christian movement called the Way. Then Paul is confronted by Jesus and in an instant is changed. He abandons all he's known, his training, his upbringing, all of it. He abandons it all for Jesus. Now, Jesus says to Paul that he has some important work for Paul to do with the Gentiles and sends Paul on a lifelong adventure of evangelism, spreading the good news about Jesus to anyone and everyone who will listen, including the head of the Roman Empire at that time. Ephesus was a Gentile city in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, over the centuries since the Assyrian and Babylonian occupation of Israel and subsequent exile of Jews from the nation. That's all detailed in the Old Testament. What came to be known as the Jewish diaspora formed around the world. The diaspora is a fancy way of saying all the Jews throughout the world got there by dispersion through various methods, yet are all still part of the grouping of God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, forming 12 tribes of kinsmen. Ephesus would have had Jews and Gentiles living side by side, just like in Thessalonica, Philippi, and the other cities around the Middle East and Asia, represented in the New Testament writings. But what was different about Jews and Gentiles? As God's chosen people, the Jews would have been brought up studying the Old Testament, which is called the Torah. They didn't have the New Testament yet, since it hadn't been written yet. But they would have had a keen understanding of their heritage. They would have been educated to understand that they were different and special. They would have the understanding that God the Creator has made them promises called covenants just to them that include a great inheritance for them as descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They also would have separated themselves from the Gentiles, being zealous to show that they were different from the world, different from the Gentiles. They were special. They were holy. They would follow the law found in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, where the law was given by God. They would be eagerly awaiting the Messiah, who would set the world right in their favor, of course, bringing with him swift justice and great inheritance that they've been promised. But what about the Gentiles in Ephesus? Who were they? Gentiles would have been polytheistic, which is a fancy way of saying they had lots of idols that they believed were gods in place of the Creator God. Gentiles would not have the same law to live by. Therefore, their lives would be focused around themselves and their society, including selfish, vulgar lifestyles, basically the same that we see today. It's interesting to me, considering that, just like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You could basically look around our world today and imagine you're looking at the Gentiles of Ephesus, people living for what makes them feel good, crafting idols of all sorts to substitute for the Creator so they don't have to be accountable to Him. People living for themselves, their own pleasures. People driven by greed, driven by anger, division, quick to fight about just about anything for the sake of winning, such as politics or personal choice. Everyone trying to be the best, be the first, be the foremost. Well, every time you shake your head at the world around you, remember, that's exactly what the Jews would be doing, shaking their heads at all the sinful Gentiles around them. And then along comes Jesus. Along comes this new movement called the Way. Some say that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is God incarnate, the Word made flesh. And he is self-declared to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father but by him. As a Jew, God's chosen people, can you see how this might seem blasphemous? Can you see how this might make you skeptical? You might say, hey, we've heard it before. You're just another false Messiah, a false prophet. And then Jesus rises from the dead. So who's the false Messiah now? Next thing you know, you have good Jewish people like Paul leaving behind all they know to start over with Jesus, to follow him. Not only that, you find Gentiles like Cornelius believing in Jesus as their Savior as well. And before you know it, there's a church in every city alongside the pagan temples and Jewish synagogues. People are becoming divided into groups who believe different things. What could God possibly be doing with all this, they might wonder? Well, I believe that's why Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, as an explanation of what God's been up to right under their noses. The final point today is this, that God's plan includes you, no matter who you are. Paul writes this letter to shed light on these groups and to show God's wisdom in doing this new thing, this mystery called the church. Paul, having insight from the Holy Spirit, tells us about God's plans from the beginning, and how we fit into those plans. Ephesians is a letter that has meaning for Jews, Gentiles, and believers from both sides as they form into the church, the body of Christ, this new mystery, not yet spoken of in their history, that God unfolds in Paul's day right before their eyes. So often we as modern-day believers inject ourselves and our current worldview into Scripture before taking the time to consider the original intent of the author to their audience, and then understand the interpretation or the meaning of that intention and the information which then can apply to us. We're going to learn as we look into Paul's letter to the Ephesians where we fit into this picture and what it can mean for us moving forward. Ephesians is inspiring and transformative in nature, and Paul's letter conveys God's mysterious yet intentional and ultimately good and right design for the church and what believers are supposed to look like. Guess what? You and I are part of that same church that Paul is talking about. So by default, we fit into the scripture. Next week, we're going to dive into chapters 1 and 2, and we'll see how Paul writes God's plan as it turns into their reality and how that trickles down into our reality today. So I want you to remember that God's word is trustworthy and true. It's the testimony of the Creator. God has a plan which is absolutely accessible in his word. And you and I are part of God's plan. I hope you'll come back next week and learn a little bit more about how we fit into that plan. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your plan. Thank you that you, in your infinite wisdom, have decided to include us in that plan. Lord, as we live out our lives today in this place, in Boise, Idaho, in America, help us to understand, what should we be looking like as Christians in this world? How should we be reflecting your glory in this world? Lord, show us your ways. And would you shine into this land, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing this last song?
Lord, our light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so